Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I'm so glad to be with you again today as we discuss the lectionary texts for this week, the week of March 5th, which is the first Sunday in Lent. And I've mentioned before that we base the texts for this podcast on the lectionary texts, the assigned readings that many churches use that are based on a three-year cycle. And we've been doing the Old Testament texts on one part of the episode and the New Testament text on another part of the episode. And I'm going to try something a little different this time. I'm going to try to actually break that up even more. And so do a separate podcast on each of the texts. So you'll get four parts, still the same texts, just broken up a little bit differently, just trying something a little bit new. I'm always trying to figure out new ways to do this podcast and new ways to explore the texts with you. So today's text, we'll be doing the first of the Old Testament texts, and that is the text from Genesis chapter 2. Like I said, this is the first Sunday in Lent, and for those of you who may not come from a tradition that celebrates Lent, Lent is the 40 days not counting Easter that lead up, the 40 days not counting Sundays that lead up to Easter. So it's the season of the church year when we walk with Jesus to Jerusalem, when we know that we are on the way to the cross and Good Friday, but that we're also on the way to the resurrection and the promises that lie therein. So it's a season where a lot of people try to practice or focus more specifically on some of their spiritual disciplines, whether that means giving something up or taking something on, etc. And it's just a season to reflect on how God works in our lives. A lot of the texts for Lent focus on the way that we see God, the way that we see Jesus, how Jesus is the Messiah, and how he met expectations and defied expectations in his time. So this is, as I said, it's a season of contemplation, a season of spiritual discipline, a season of walking with Jesus toward Jerusalem. So with that being said, we are going to take a really quick break before we get started, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about this week's text from Genesis chapter 2. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. As I mentioned before the break, the first reading that we will be discussing today, actually the reading that we will be discussing today, is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and that's verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And those verses are as follows. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You shall not touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made loincloths for themselves. So again, that is the Old Testament text for this week, the first Sunday in Lent. And it is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And not one of my favorite texts. I'll just get that out there right now. Because this text, as you might know, has been used for so many things over the years. Let's start with something a little silly on the one hand. Let's start with the fact that, you know, we always say that Eve ate the apple and then she gave the apple to Adam, right? It's become the apple. When we tell this story, we always refer to the fruit as an apple. But did you hear the word apple anywhere in that text? As I said, this is just a silly thing. This doesn't really bug me that people refer to it as an apple. It's one of those things that has grown out of how we discuss the Bible, and it's just one of those misconceptions where, you know, we think of things that are in the Bible that aren't always in the Bible or aren't always quoted as we think of them. So it's really just the fruit. It's not the apple. Don't blame those innocent apples. It's an unidentified fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's my silly first comment on this text. The second part is more problematic. And that is the way this text has been used to treat women, to talk about women, to create women's roles in society. So because it is Eve that the serpent deceives, because it is Eve who is the first one to take the fruit, Eve then gets blamed for it. We're told later that as a punishment, not only are she and Adam thrown out of the Garden of Eden, but she is to experience pain in childbirth. And so that's where that theory comes from. You know, everything has origin stories, and this is an origin story. So women and men wondered, why is childbirth so painful? What is the cause of that? And this is a story that gives one potential answer to that question, why childbirth is so painful, because Eve disobeyed God. She let the serpent or Satan tempt her. She ate of that fruit. Her eyes were opened. She tried to become like God. And so that is her punishment. We're also told that the serpent was punished, that the serpent was then forced to slither on its belly for the rest of its life, so down in the dirt and the dust. So pain in childbirth, that's one way to look at this story. But then it's also used to look at as women are temptresses. Women are the originators of sin. Women really get a bad rap because of this text. And so it's been used to subjugate women. It's been used to put women in their place, so to speak. And it's been a problematic text for a very long time. So the fact that it's our very first text for the season of Lent kind of makes me go, whoa, this is just, wow, I don't even know quite what to say. But let's look a little bit more at the text. Again, it's an origin story, right? So we're talking about the entire creation story is an origin story. People had questions. They wanted to know why things were, how the earth came into being, how our relationship with God came into being. And when we talk about origin stories, this doesn't mean that they're not true, that the Bible isn't true, that the Word of God isn't true. But origin stories tend to be more how humans explain the world, how they explain the relationship with God. So in my tradition, and for me personally, the Bible is inspired by God, but not written by God. It's written by humans who put their own interpretations on things. Now, not everyone thinks this way, and I'm not here to tell you how to think. I'm not here to insist that my way is right. This is just the way that I was taught and the way that I have learned through the years. So origin stories just give us ways of looking at the world. So this story may not be literal. We don't necessarily have to take it as literal, but it has been used to explain certain things. why there's sin, why there is differences between men and women in the creation story, why Adam and Eve no longer lived in the Garden of Eden with God, in that relationship with God. You know, why we have this relationship with God where we do sin, where we do turn our backs on God, where we don't listen to God. So when we look at it that way, I think we can have a lot of good things come out of this text. It's not a text to lay blame. It's a text that really describes human nature, right? We're told for our own good not to do something. God says, you can have whatever you want. Everything in this garden is yours to eat, except one tree. And we might look at that and say, oh, but we're human. We're going to want that one tree. And of course, that's, you know, we understand human nature. But as a story, this explains human nature, right? This explains why we're that way. So we're in this relationship with God. We're in the Garden of Eden, living this wonderful life with this relationship with God that's symbiotic and wonderful. But as humans, we tend to want more. And as humans, we allow ourselves to listen to that voice, whether it's the voice of a serpent, whether it's the voice of Satan, whether it's the voice of our best friend in the whole world who just doesn't have the best ideas, someone who maybe just had an idea that shouldn't be out in the world, but we listen to it. We listen to those voices that tell us to do something that we may or may not know we shouldn't, right? Have you ever, you've had that experience where someone says, this would be a really great idea, and you think, I don't know, I feel a little uncomfortable about this, but they're like, come on, no, this will be great, you'll love it. And you think, yeah, okay, this might be okay, and you go along with the plan, and it's not a good idea. Things happen, relationships change, something might go terribly wrong, etc. We've all been there, right? Those voices come at us from everywhere. The voice that we're supposed to be listening for, the voice that we should listen for, is the voice of God, because the voice of God and God always, always has our best interest at heart. God loves us. God wants to be in relationship with us. And God tells us things to maintain that relationship, not only with God, but with each other. But we don't always want to listen to that voice, right? We don't always want to listen to the voice that tells us what we don't want to do. We want to listen to the voice that agrees with our own plans, that agrees with something that we want to do. Now, Eve may or may not have really thought about that tree beforehand. She may not have thought, well, God said I can't eat that fruit, but I really wonder what it tastes like. Instead, it's the serpent. And the serpent here could be a metaphor, again, like I said, for a lot of things. But it's the serpent who gets in Eve's head and begins talking to her about, well, why can't you? Just because God said that doesn't mean you really can't, right? So Eve is tempted. She is led by that voice to turn away from God. And that's the literal translation of sin right there, right? To turn physically away from God. And that's what she does. She turns away from God's word and toward the thing that is tempting her. And so we're going to talk more about this in just a few minutes, but we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about this text from Genesis chapters 2 and 3. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Again, before the break, we've been talking about the Old Testament text for the first Sunday in Lent 2017, and that is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's this text from Genesis that tells us about the origins of sin, that tells us about why Adam and Eve's relationship with God changed, why they were sent from the garden. And so, again, we've talked some about Eve, some of the problems that have come about from this text, but also looked at a few other way, at another way of looking at this text, that it's not, it shouldn't be to blame Eve, but a way to look at how sin came into the world, to look at how we understand sin, that sin is something that turns us away from God. And often the things that turn us away from God are voices, the voices of people who are trying to get us to go in a different way, the voices of people who maybe don't have our best interests at heart, maybe think they have our best interests at heart, maybe just have a different agenda than we have. And so we listen to those voices and we get turned around, kind of literally. We get turned away from what God would like us to do. And when we sin, that literally means turning away from God. Repenting literally means to turn back toward God. So it's another way of looking at this story from the second and third chapter of Genesis. Another thing to think about then is how it describes our relationship with God. And so after Adam and Eve eat of the fruit, then their eyes are opened, right? And this is, people can say, well, that's a good thing. Our eyes should be open. We shouldn't just be living in this state of being with God where we don't understand anything, where we don't question anything. And again, as an origin story, that's a way of seeing, well, why do we have our own opinions? Why do we have free will? And so when people were talking about that and thinking about that, then this seemed to be a way of defining how that might have come about. So origin stories, this is my own take, and maybe it's somebody else's take too, but I'm not quoting anyone here or anything. Origin stories for me are kind of like early psychology. Before they had psychology, psychiatry, therapy, any of those things, as people tried to figure out why the world is like it is, why people are like they are, why human nature is like it is, they told stories. And these stories always have some basis, and they're handed down through generations. So origin stories, sometimes they're called origin myths, but they explain why human nature is like it is. So instead of looking at this from a psychological standpoint, people told stories. Well, Adam and Eve were in this great relationship with God, but something must have happened. Something must have happened that turned them away from that relationship with God. And so then we have this story. We have the book of Genesis, really, that gives us all of those creation stories and origin stories and all of those great texts that we might be, that we are probably so familiar with, but they're more than just stories. They're explanations. They're ways of understanding the world. So yes, maybe being with God and not having to think about what's good and evil or having that knowledge is a good thing, but we know that as humans, that's not how our brains are wired, right? We do see the world in a lot of different ways. We don't just see the world one way, and we do get tempted. We do get turned from the path. We do get turned from God's word. We do not always make the best decisions. So this is one way of explaining all of that. So Adam and Eve, as I said, eat the fruit and their eyes are opened. And this point is when they are expelled from the Garden of Eden, which might seem pretty harsh, but at this point, their relationship with God has changed, right? So now that their relationship has changed, excuse me, they are sent out into the bigger world. They're sent out into the world to figure out things in a new way. So for me, I like to look at these stories from a different perspective than maybe the one that we've always been told. And maybe because I'm a woman, but hopefully not just that. I mean, there are men that think this too. I don't like to read this story as a reason to blame women for everything, as a reason to blame women for sin. Women are not the originators of sin. It just happens to be Eve who is tempted by the serpent. But notice that there's nothing said about Adam. in terms of argument. She offers him the fruit and he takes it. And so, again, this is where women get that reputation as temptresses, as leading men astray. But I don't think that's fair to either men or women, because Adam and Eve were partners. They were husband and wife. And so, you know, we have to assume there was more of a conversation than Adam, than Eve just saying, here, take this fruit. And Adam saying, yeah, okay, you're hot. I'll take the fruit or whatever. You know, I'm assuming she handed him the fruit. He said, isn't this from the tree that we're not supposed to eat from? And she related her conversation with the serpent. I, of course, am projecting here because that's not in the text, but I just can't imagine it was that simple. Here, eat this fruit. Yeah, okay. Oh, crap. Now we're not in relationship with God anymore. It's all your fault. So a different way of looking at this origin story. Your tradition or your studies may give you a different perspective, and that's great. That's the idea of studying. That's the idea of Bible studies, to give us different perspectives, to give us different ways of looking at the text that we are so familiar with. So we're going to take another quick break, but when we come back, I want to look at a commentary that talks about this text so we can get another perspective, not just mine, since I can't have a conversation with you here in the studio with me. I like to bring someone else's voice in. So we're going to take that quick break, and when we come back, we'll be looking at a commentary on this text from Genesis chapters 2 and 3. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. As I mentioned before the break, we are now going to look at a commentary on this text that we have been discussing for today, the text from Genesis chapter 2 and 3, the Old Testament text for the first Sunday in Lent. And this commentary comes from Assistant Professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and her name is Cameron B. R. Howard. And she says, who tells the truth in this story, God or the serpent? God says to Adam, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Yet when Adam and Eve eat it, they do not die. So did God lie? Did God offer up an alternative fact? Did God tell all the truth, but tell it at a slant? Was God simply wrong? So here we have even a different way of looking at this text from what I was talking about in the first two segments. Did God lie? Have you ever thought about that when you read this text? God says, if you eat it, you will die. And Adam and Eve do eat the fruit, but they don't die. So what does that mean? What does that mean in terms of the story? What does that mean in terms of trusting God's word? What does that mean? She goes on to say, the serpent, who is only presented as an animal in the story, not as Satan, says to Eve, did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Chapter 3, verse 1. We and Adam, and apparently Eve too, though she was not yet formed when God gave the command, know that this is not at all what God said. Does the serpent also know this? We have several reasons to think it does. First, the narrator calls the serpent crafty or shrewd, implying the animal is not simply making casual conversation. Second, the serpent is indeed correct about the outcome of the human's snack. The snake promises that once they eat the fruit, their eyes will be opened. They will see and know. This is precisely what occurs in verse 7. Their eyes are open and they know that they are naked. So here we get this whole thing turned on its head, right? We wonder, should we doubt God's word? Should we doubt God's commands? The serpent tells the truth. At least it seems like the serpent tells the truth. The serpent says, if you eat the fruit, you won't die, but your eyes will be opened. You'll be able to see good and evil. And that's exactly what happens. What are we to make of this? Ms. Howard continues on, the serpent also promises that even Adam will become like gods, ones who know good and evil. Chapter 3, verse 5. This outcome is not immediately confirmed in the text, however, at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, God declares that the humans have indeed become like us, knowing good and evil, fueling God's expulsion of the humans from the garden. Thus, the snake seems to have a lot of correct information about the garden's trees and the consequences of eating from them, information that God either did not know or did not reveal to the humans. The serpent's question to Eve is not exactly a lie, but in its craftiness, the serpent does appear to be setting up these humans, or God, or both, for a confrontation. I think this is a really interesting way to look at this. Not just that the serpent tempted or tricked Eve, but as a way of looking at the text in a slightly different way. Is God telling the truth? Is the serpent telling the truth? How are we supposed to understand this? But also, is the serpent setting up not only Adam and Eve, but setting up God? Is the serpent trying to set up God, creating this test for Adam and Eve? I find this a really fascinating way to think about this. It becomes more of a psychological look at the story, right? More of a getting inside the serpent's head, getting inside the human's head. What is the motivation behind the serpent's trying to trick Adam and Eve into disobeying God's word? She continues with the commentary, in an era when a fake news, in quotes, proliferates, many of us crave some straightforward answers, especially to our most deeply held questions of faith. But this text is a stark reminder that Scripture does not always provide answers or much of anything straightforward. If we come to this story believing that God exhibits all the omni-categories, omnipotent, omniscient, omnibenevolent, omnipresent, then the story is going to challenge some of those assumptions. Does the snake know more than God? Is the snake more of a truth teller than God? Those questions jar us if we allow ourselves to ask them. Yet asking those difficult questions is one of the ways we come to glimpse the fullness of who God is and how we might live our own lives faithfully. I love that she takes this perspective on this text, because we so often hear stories that we've heard so many times and we just kind of say, oh yeah, I know this story. The serpent says this, Eve eats the fruit, Adam eats the fruit, they're kicked out, blah, blah, blah. I know this story. I've heard it 100 times, right? But if we start thinking about it from different viewpoints, if we start wondering about the snakes, the serpent's motivations, if we start looking at it as, who's telling the truth here? God? The serpent? Is it a trick? Is it a test? We get to get deeper into the story. And asking questions is exactly how our faith grows, right? We shouldn't be comfortable in our faith. We shouldn't just put on those old, familiar, comfortable Bible stories, Bible verses, Bible texts that fit like that wonderful old sweater that's worn in just right. It's just that perfect level of softness, and it surrounds us and comforts us. Scripture can comfort, of course. Of course our relationship with God should comfort us in times. But our relationship with God isn't going to grow if we just stay in that warm, comfy sweater all the time. If we never ask questions, if we never show a little bit of doubt or skepticism about what we are reading. We have to read the text with a critical eye in order to learn and to grow. I often think that Thomas in the New Testament gets a bad rap because he is given such a hard time for doubting, right? And yet, all he's doing is asking questions. We want to think that we're so much better than Thomas, that we would never have those silly questions, that we wouldn't doubt Jesus. But doubt isn't the opposite of faith. Doubt is just a way of figuring out more about our faith. Doubt is actually certainty can be the opposite of faith, because when we're so certain, then we're so certain we know the right answer that we're not willing to hear a different answer. We're not willing to hear when God is speaking to us. So the commentary goes on, and now she's quoting a different author. She says, in her essay, The Soil That Is Scripture, Ellen Davis advocates reading the Bible with the virtues of humility, charity, and patience. She describes a patient reading of Scripture as akin to reading poetry, slowing down to ponder each phrase, to wonder why this word was chosen and not another, how this line or paragraph or story builds on what precedes and leads into what follows. The story of the garden is a wonderful place to practice this discipline of reading with patience. We tend to read and preach this story as if it is about one topic alone, sin. Sin is indeed a critical theme for Genesis 2 and 3, and I commend you to the many excellent evaluations of the topic in other commentaries. But this text, she says, also presents an opportunity to reflect not just on particular theological themes, but also on the sheer art of biblical storytelling. And I feel like this is a little bit of what I was trying to say at the beginning, right? Looking at the text a slightly different way, trying to see past what we've been told our whole lives, trying to see past, sometimes we carry with that basic Sunday school knowledge with us into adulthood, right? And that's not a bad thing. That basic Sunday school knowledge is, again, it's basic. It's the basis for our faith sometimes. But if we don't move beyond that, we don't grow. So what I want you to take away from this text today, and it fits in with Lent, because Lent, again, as I said before, is that time of taking on a spiritual discipline, maybe, or re-examining your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ. What I want us to take away from this text today is a different way of reading Scripture. I love that she quoted Ellen Davis. I read some Ellen Davis in seminary. I didn't get to read this particular Ellen Davis, but I did read some other of her works, and I really appreciated it. But I love what she says about slowing down, reading Scripture in a different way, trying to see it as poetry, or trying to bring fresh eyes to texts that are so familiar to us. Truth, this commentator writes, is ambiguous, and we know that. So trying not to just look at this text as black and white, as truth or lies, as right and wrong, as sin and not sin, will bring us more deeply into the text. So during this Lenten season, I encourage you, maybe as part of your spiritual discipline, to take some of those old familiar stories and try to look at them with fresh eyes. See if they jump out at you in any different way. See if they challenge your faith. See if they bring any questions. And then find someone you can talk to. If you've got a Bible study group, or you've got a pastor that you meet with to talk about Scripture, if you've got friends that you talk about Scripture, bring those questions to them and see what their insights are. Read a commentary you've never read before. I just encourage you to engage with the text during this Lenten season, and I think that this text is a great place to jump off. I started out the podcast saying I couldn't believe this was the text that we were starting our Lenten season with, and now I'm here toward the end thinking, hey, I think this is a great text to start the Lenten season off with, because it does get our brains engaged. It gets us questioning. So I guess I learned something myself today during this podcast. So thank you so much for joining me as I wandered through this text and led you hopefully on a bit of a journey with me as I learn some new insights. I want to thank you for joining me as we discuss this reading from Genesis chapters 2 and 3 that was assigned for the week of March 5th, 2017, the first Sunday in Lent. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow as we move on to the second Old Testament of this lectionary cycle, and that's the Psalm for this week, which is Psalm 32. As a reminder, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can not only follow us, but you can engage with us on social media. So I'd love to hear from you if you have anything to say, if you have insights or questions or thoughts on the texts or the Bible or faith in general. Again, thank you for joining me, and please always remember that you are a beloved child of God. I'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.